But today is Pentecost Sunday. How many of you guys knew that? It's Pentecost, which I'm excited about. The Holy Spirit is so incredibly amazing. And as I was preparing for the message this morning, there was really no question in my mind what I was going to talk about. It's Pentecost, and I love the Holy Spirit. So that is what we're going to dive into today. For those of you that don't know what Pentecost is, it's actually a Jewish festival that God told us to keep in the Old Testament, and it's called Shavuot. Shavuot. We get Pentecost from a Greek word called Peninta or something. I don't speak Greek, so I'm just going to pretend, but it's Peninta, and from that we get Pentecost, which means 50, because Shavuot was meant to be celebrated 50 days after Passover. So you count 50 days. Remember we had the Seder meal in here? So 50 days from our Seder meal was yesterday, on Saturday. That's when Shavuot starts, and you celebrate it for 3 days. And so today we're right in the middle of that feast, and tomorrow is the ending of that. And that is when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And if you look through the Word of God, you can see the foreshadowing in the Old Testament of the different feasts that God commanded us to keep, and then the fulfillment of them in the New Testament. And so the fulfillment of Shavuot, of celebrating that feast, is the Holy Spirit came. Let's go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 4 and 5. No, let's skip that verse. Remember, we deleted that one. It was 50 days. So, the book of Acts. When you are in the book of Acts, I want you to read it with new eyes. After today's service, I want you to go and start, if you're not already on a Bible reading plan, or if you are on a Bible reading plan, then I want you to add in the book of Acts. And I want you to continue to read through it, but look for where the Holy Spirit is mentioned. And just try to figure out, because so often I feel like he's the most ignored person in church. Do you guys ever feel alone when you come into church and sit? I think Holy Spirit feels like that sometimes too. Because we talk about God a lot, and we talk about Jesus a lot, and then we talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit. So today is all about him. And he comes where he is wanted. And some of you, you've grown up in church. You grew up in Pentecostal church. And you were filled with the Holy Spirit when you were young. And you've heard all this before. And others of you, this might be the first time that you're like, okay, I know I'm saved, but what is the Holy Spirit? I have no idea. So church, I think, is one of those things. It's the only place, probably on earth, where we have different levels. It's like teaching kindergarten through university level all at the same time. So I don't know where you're at this morning, but we're all going to learn something. We're going to kind of start with the basics and then get into who is the Holy Spirit and why do we need him? Why do we need to get baptized in the Holy Spirit? Let's look at John chapter 16 and verse 7. This is Jesus talking, and he's talking to his disciples, and he is saying that the Holy Spirit is so important that it's actually better for them that he leaves so that the Holy Spirit can come. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate or the Holy Spirit won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. I used to think that was really kind of strange when I was little. I remember thinking I would much rather walk with Jesus like the disciples did than have the Holy Spirit who I can't see. But just picture it for a minute. If Jesus was still on earth today and he was in Israel, just like he was when he was walking with the disciples, if you wanted to talk to him, if he was here in flesh form, you'd have to literally buy a plane ticket and fly to Israel and go find wherever he was and stand in line with all the other thousands of people who wants to talk to him and see if he can fit you in. That's why it was better for Jesus to go and the Holy Spirit to come, because the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He is with us at all times. It's different than Jesus being in the flesh like a man. Instead, now we have God with us all the time in the form of the Holy Spirit. He is the power, he is the life, he is the relationship. If you remove the Holy Spirit from church, it really just turns into a social club or a religious institution. He is the life on the inside of us. If Jesus himself needed the Holy Spirit, how much more do we need the Holy Spirit? And when we are born again, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. But then when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, which we'll look at in a little bit, how that's a different thing, he actually comes upon us with power. So he comes within us for relationship, and he comes upon us to give us power. Just like our vision that says no, grow, do, right? Part of the Holy Spirit is for that no. It's how we know God. But then we also need him in order to be able to do what God's called us to do. That is the power that we have living on the inside of us. There are three major milestones in your walk as a Christian. One is salvation, right? The blood of Jesus washes us from all sin. It's salvation. The other one is baptism in water, which we're actually going to celebrate baptism this morning, and I'm really excited about that. And then there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Those are the three things. All three of them are mentioned in all four Gospels. You see it throughout the book of Acts. That is for every believer. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, we see. So we have these three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, which is baptism, and the blood, which is salvation. And all three agree. If you look in the Old Testament, before the priests could go into the Holy of Holies, they had to sacrifice, which was the blood of animals, which represents salvation through the blood of Jesus. And then they had to get washed in the water to purify themselves. That's what we do when we symbolically, when we baptize over here today, we get under the water to be washed clean. But then they also had the anointing oil that they would put all over themselves before they came into the presence of God. And that is the Holy Spirit. So you can see throughout the book of Acts, in all places, I think, but one, anytime that people are baptized with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit comes upon them to endue them with power, it's a separate instance than salvation. So like I said before, salvation, the Holy Spirit come inside of us for relationship with God, but then he comes upon us. Let's look at Acts chapter 8, verse 14 through 19. And if you've recently gone through Growth Track, Brad talks about this a little bit, just because there's a little bit of confusion, like, well, I'm born again, don't I have the Holy Spirit? So you do, but look at this, because we have the blood, the water, and the Spirit. Remember that, and let's read. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they pray for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. So look at that. They heard that they had gotten born again. They had believed in Jesus. But then when they came, they prayed for them to receive the Holy Spirit because it was a separate thing, right? So the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon them, for they had only been baptized in the name of Lord Jesus. They had been baptized in water, but they had not yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit. So we have salvation, we have water baptism, and then we have the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I love this because when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's some evidence to it. Anywhere where you see it in Scripture, you talk about people seeing and hearing that the Holy Spirit was poured out. So in this particular instance, there was a sorcerer, there was a magician, there was somebody who had supernatural power. His name was Simon. And he got born again when the gospel was preached. And now he's seeing that they're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he's seeing the power, because remember, the Holy Spirit is the power of God. So that means there was probably miracles happening. I'm sure there were blind eyes open, all this kind of stuff happening. So he's looking at that and he's like, I want that. What is that? So when Simon saw that the Spirit was given when the apostle laid their hands on people, he offered them money to buy this power. That's how amazing and evident it should be that we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Like, that people want to buy what we have because it's so incredible. So he knew that he had a little bit of power, but he saw the Holy Spirit was much greater, so he offered to buy it. That way, when I lay my hands on people, they can receive the Holy Spirit. Obviously, if you don't know the end of the story, they did not do that. They rebuked him and said, look, God is not for sale, but he is a free gift to all those who ask. So again, within us for relationship, and then comes upon us with power. I don't know about you, but I need the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. Without it, I just don't know what is, you know, how to operate in this Christian life, because the Word of God tells us to go out and lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, and to share the gospel and to do all these things and to prophesy. How do we do that? It's through the Holy Spirit. We have the gifts of the Spirit that are available to us when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. So let's look at who is the Holy Spirit. One of the things, okay, so I just want to like debunk some misconceptions, because the Holy Spirit is not an it. It's a person. He's a person. He's part of the Godhead. He is the third person in the Trinity. There's Father God, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So somehow I think, and maybe we can blame the flannel graph back in the 80s for this, but we think the Holy Spirit is like a little flame of fire, or that he is a dove. The Holy Spirit is not a dove, and he is not a flame of fire. The Bible talks about him coming like a dove and coming like fire, but he is not fire. He's not some whisper ghost wind that just comes in. And I think sometimes we have a hard time in our relationship with the Holy Spirit because we think he's just like this mystic thing. We're not quite sure what to make of it. But the Holy Spirit is a person. In the Bible, we see that he has a mind of his own. He has emotions. He can be grieved. He comforts. He teaches. He speaks clearly. He shows us what to do. He can be lied to and he can be insulted. That's not a whisper in the wind. That's a person. So when the Bible talks about the teacher being with you all the time, that's the Holy Spirit. He is right here with you. He is like fire and he is like a dove, but he is not a dove. We are created in his image. And, you know, if you look back in the olden days, the pronoun even that they have he and they have she, and then they have, they don't have it like we have it. It was a, just, we're not sure if it's a boy or a girl, but it's a person. That's the pronoun that was used. It was never an it. And I think just because we put the in front of it, I think of it more of like the president is coming. It's like a title that we give him, but he's not an it. Can we all agree on that? So that's good. And then the next misconception is that he's weird. Like God the Father, like that's sweet, right? Like we all want a good Father. And then Jesus the Son, he died for me. He's my hero. He's my friend. Yes, he's my Lord. And then the Holy Spirit, I just don't know. I've heard he makes people do weird things. There's like fires and lightning and shaking, and I just don't know. Listen, can I just tell you this? So Jesus, when he was walking on the earth, it says that he was filled with the Spirit and with the power of the Spirit, and that's how he operated. And who can detect weirdness the best? Kids. We used to travel a lot in churches, and my little kids, like if somebody was weird, because there are some weird things going on in churches sometimes, let's be honest in here today, they were the first one to be like, what's going on over there? You know what I mean? Kids know. And kids loved Jesus. I don't think he was weird. I think he was very normal. I think he was very happy. I think there was power that was unleashed. And I think that terrifies people that don't know God. So sometimes it's like, whoa, what is happening right here? And you have to step back in awe and wonder. But he's not weird. Even when strange things happen, you know what the thing is? The goal of the Holy Spirit is to point to the Father. And the heart of God is that the lost would be saved. So I think sometimes church, us, we've made the Holy Spirit weird. And God's like, don't make me out to be so weird. We want the supernatural, not the spooky natural. We can operate in the power of God without freaking everybody out. We need the Holy Spirit. We can't put him in a little box in a closet because we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. We need the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Without it, we're lost. You know, and that's how we have relationship with God, right? We were talking about Jesus if he was walking on the earth today earlier. So look at this. We have Peter and we have Paul. Wouldn't you say that they both had a lot of knowledge and wisdom and insight about God and they knew him intimately? So Peter knew Jesus in the flesh. Paul knew Jesus by the Spirit. He never saw Jesus in person. He got to know him just like you and I through the Holy Spirit. And he was able to know God so well that he wrote half the New Testament. The Holy Spirit is very useful in our relationship with God. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, see, Jesus is the grace, and the love of God, God is the love, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. He is the part, the intimacy in the relationship with God. The word fellowship there is actually a Greek word, koinonia. I think we have a little thing. Yeah, koinonia. It means fellowship. That's when you're with somebody and you want to be with them. Partnership, like a close association. Like, I want to be associated with Brad. He's my husband. It's like Brad and Josie. I love, if I travel and speak, I show pictures of him and my kids. I want to be associated. The Holy Spirit wants you to want to be associated with him. He shows up where he's wanted and where he's loved. And then intimacy. That word means intimacy, to have an intimate relationship with Jesus in your heart. You can know him. So this is a question I'm asking myself this morning as well as you guys. How well do we know him? If you look in scriptures, remember Philip? He was an evangelist. And it talks about him hearing the voice of God. And I just thought this was really interesting. Look in Acts chapter 8, and we're going to look at verse 26 and 29. When God speaks to him twice, once through an angel in verse 26. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south, down to the road, da, da, da. An angel of the Lord spoke to him. Then look at verse 29. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk beside the carriage. I loved reading this because you know what? He knew the Holy Spirit so well that he could tell when there was an angel talking to him or the Holy Spirit was talking to him. I don't know about you, but I'm not quite there yet. I'm just like, the Lord, I feel like I have this sense. I don't know if it's the Holy Spirit or an angel or, you know, whatever. I can tell it's God somehow. But we can know him so intimately that we know his voice and we recognize it. It's like the way I know Brad. I can hear him across the room. Like if I call and he picks up, I'm not like, is this Brad? I don't know. Maybe it's somebody else. I know his voice. That is how we're meant to know the Holy Spirit, that intimately. To where we can discern that he is talking to us. And if we pursue him, because he's like a gentleman, like unless we engage with him, he won't engage with us. But the more we do, he'll start talking right back. He has so much that he wants to say to us. And you know, part of this whole weird thing is tongues. Can we talk about tongues this morning? Everybody okay with that? Okay. And if you grew up in a church that believe that tongues was maybe of the devil or that it was a sin or something, it's okay, it's not. It's part of what the Holy Spirit does. And if you're new to church and you have no idea what tongues is, just stick with me because I'm going to explain it. Because it's not weird. It's something that the Holy Spirit gives us. If you look in Acts 2 on the first Pentecost, so we're celebrating Pentecost today, and this was 2,000 years ago on Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Let's just read about what happened. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. Look how it says, like. The Spirit of God is not a storm, but he comes like a storm sometimes. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. So notice how it says they began speaking. It wasn't like the Holy Spirit grabbed their jaw and just started moving it. They were actually speaking. He is a gentleman. He's not going to push in where he's not wanted. But they begin speaking in another tongue. So what does that mean, a tongue? A tongue is basically, it's just a language that's not recognized by your understanding. Like if somebody spoke Mandarin Chinese, it would be like other tongues to me in here today. Because I have no idea what it means. And not everybody who's filled with the Spirit speaks in tongues. And here's what I mean by that. You have the ability to. He gives it to everybody. But it's kind of like if the Holy Spirit was a river and it's flowing and there's this stream and you stand in it, you can push against that stream and you can just hold your balance and not float down the river, or you can surrender to it and surrender to that stream. So when you ask the Holy Spirit to come and to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, he gives you the ability and the gift of speaking in tongues. But if you don't want it, you don't have to access it. It kind of depends, like, how much have you surrendered to him? But if you've asked for him, he's there, and you have that ability. So let's look at tongues. Okay, as far as I can tell, there are four different types of tongues mentioned in the Word of God. And if you've noticed, if you've been here for any length of time, we don't come up here on Sunday mornings and speak in tongues from the platform. Because nobody would understand us, right? It wouldn't really make sense to you. But some of these tongues are for public use. Some of them are for private use. We're just going to quickly go through them. So one is an earthly tongue. That's like in Pentecost. And if you want to look this up later, you can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22. It basically means that the Holy Spirit gives you a language that already exists here on earth. Like on Pentecost, when the disciples came out of that room, Peter, they were all speaking in other tongues, and people that were visiting from all around the world came and they heard their own language spoken, and the gospel was being preached to them. These were disciples from Galilee that were fishermen. They didn't speak those languages, but it was the Holy Spirit that gave that to them. Remember Dr. Michael Brown that has come and ministered here before? That's part of his testimony, is that he was in a service and he was a good Jewish boy, and somebody was standing in the back praying in tongues, and it was actually in Hebrew, and preached the gospel to him and prophesied to him and told him everything about his life and about Jesus and how he loved him. This guy didn't know Hebrew. And then when Dr. Brown started talking to him, he reverted into English, and he's like, wow, I just can't believe you told me all that, and your Hebrew is so good, by the way. And the guy's like, I don't speak Hebrew. I don't know what you're talking about. I was praying in tongues. So that is the first kind, is God literally gives you another language that you don't know, and you miraculously speak it. And this is as a sign for the unbeliever. We saw that in Acts, and we saw it. I have testimony of other friends that have done that, but I'm not going to come up here and and try to speak in other tongues. I don't know if God has given me another language. I think that just happens kind of if somebody's standing by you. I've heard many stories of people on like buses and stuff like that that have heard somebody praying in tongues, but it was the gospel being preached. The second one is tongues with interpretation. This is like a heavenly language, and it's one of the spiritual gifts that's given to someone, and they speak in utterance. And then they get the interpretation or somebody else gets the interpretation, but you understand what's being said. And that, the Bible says, is for the encouragement of other believers. Like if I'm standing here in a group and we're having a prayer meeting and I just feel like there's a tongue that God's going to show me what it is. We're speaking a heavenly language and then he tells us what it means. And it might be a prophetic word for someone. Then this, and you can read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. And I think sometimes this one gets a bad rap because I don't know if you grew up in Pentecostal church where people would just kind of scream out in the middle of service and somebody else screaming out an interpretation and there's just a bit of pandemonium. God's a God of order, but it is a gift of the Spirit and it does operate. So let's use it in the way that it was intended. And then the third one is a heavenly language that is our prayer language. You don't know what it means, but God does. And it says in the Word of God that it builds us up. It's kind of like lifting weights spiritually. We're praying in the Spirit. Paul says, I pray in my understanding and I pray in the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and 15, that's where they talk about that. And that's for private use. We don't pray like that up here on Sundays because, again, nobody could understand it. But that's for you when you're praying with God, which leads me to the fourth one, which is tongues for intercession. The Bible talks about in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, that sometimes we do not know what to pray. Have you ever been there? I was there this week when I woke up to a text message or a phone call saying that Joshua was on his way to the hospital. I didn't know what to pray. We didn't even know what was wrong with him at that time. I start praying in tongues because the Holy Spirit knows. He sees. He is with God. He's omnipresent. He sees Joshua. He's there with him. Sometimes God wakes me up or I might be in my prayer time and I'm just sensing like I need to pray for something, but I'm not quite sure what it is. So I start praying in tongues. The Word of God tells us that he will intercede through us, through his Holy Spirit when we don't know the words to say. Sometimes he might give me a picture or give you a picture of, I feel like I'm praying for this woman who's grieving her son. And I don't know her. I might not know till heaven, but the Holy Spirit is praying through me. That's intercession. A lot of times we do that on Tuesday nights. Like we're in here and we're corporately all interceding. And because we don't exactly know the words to say in English as we're praying for nations around the world, we pray in tongues. That's what it's there for. But I want to touch and just read some scriptures from 1 Corinthians 14 about speaking in tongues publicly. So this is Paul speaking to the church in Corinth. And it says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you. So obviously it's a great thing to speak in tongues. It's powerful. But in a church meeting, I would rather speak 5 understandable words to help others than 10,000 words in an unknown language. It just wouldn't be of use. And then in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 23, even so, if unbelievers or people who don't understand these things come into your church meeting and they hear everybody speak in an unknown language, they will think you are crazy. And I think that's sometimes why people think the Holy Spirit's weird. It's because we're speaking in tongues when God's like, hello, you'd be better off speaking English right now to this person. But just like Paul said, he wished we all spoke in tongues. Just more than he did. He says, I wish all of you spoke in tongues. And he continually talks about how important it is to him to not just pray in his understanding, but pray in tongues. So let's, with keeping the win in mind, on Sunday mornings, our win is to reach the lost. And there are people that sit in here that have never heard about God or Jesus, let alone different languages coming down from heaven, then it's just odd. So let's not. So how do we have access to this? Why do we have the Holy Spirit? Is it just to speak in tongues? No, it is the power of God, like we were talking about earlier. It's a relationship on the inside of us that helps us know God and be close to him, and it is the power of God. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but you will receive power and ability. I need power and ability. Thank you, Jesus, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Why? So that you can be my witnesses. Going back to what is our win? What is the heart of God? That those that don't know him would get to know him. And the Holy Spirit is who enables us to do that. He gives us the power and the ability to preach the gospel, to tell people about me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. You know, if we think about Shavuot, I'm just going to tie it all back into Pentecost. Shavuot is actually the Feast of the Harvest. And isn't it interesting that the Holy Spirit was poured out during the Feast of the Harvest to fulfill the promise that God had given? What is our harvest? The Bible says that the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Our harvest is souls. Our harvest is people that don't know Jesus, and it is ripe. So who is it that enables us and gives us the power and the ability to preach the gospel in power, with signs and wonders following, and with boldness? It's the Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That is how we can be an effective witness. He wants to give us the gifts of the Spirit, which is wisdom, healing, obviously tongues, we talked about that, prophecy, faith. How would we not want that? Like, I think sometimes, because I've talked to people that I'm like, oh, you're saved, I'm so excited. Have you received the Holy Spirit yet? And they're like, well, I don't know if I want that. I'm like, why would you not want that? It is all good stuff. I don't know what I would do without the Holy Spirit. I've known him since I was very little. It's actually one of my first memories. I grew up in a Christian home. Many of you know my story. My parents were in ministry. They pastored for a while. And I remember my mom speaking in tongues over me when I would go to bed at night. And I would try to imitate her. And then one night she turned around. She's like, you know, you can have your own prayer language if you want. You don't have to imitate mine. And I was like, yes, I want that, you know. I was somewhere between 2 or 3 years old. I remember the blanket. I remember the room. I remember everything. And she's like, okay, great. And she showed me a scripture and we prayed. And she said, Holy Spirit, Josie wants to receive you. And you say that you're a free gift. So, and I prayed after her. And I just felt such a bubbling joy. I think it made such an impact. And that's how I remember it, because I don't have any other memories that early except for that. And I remember it was bedtime, but I was so excited and I started speaking in tongues and I would do somersaults back and forth on my bed. And my mom let me because, you know, the Holy Spirit was moving. But anyway, so I got to stay up late that night. But I remember it so clearly, and he's been with me ever since then. How would you not want him? He's amazing. It's like, he's the cherry on top, you know? Yes, you can get to heaven without having the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. As long as you believe in Jesus and put your faith in him, the blood of Jesus washes you from all sin. If you came and you repented of your sin right here and you didn't get a chance to get water baptized, you're still saved. You'll go to heaven. But God's best for us is that we would have all three, that we would have the blood and the water and the Spirit, not just one. Without him, I think life would be boring. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, the insight of the Holy Spirit, him talking to me. Like, Jesus is in heaven, God is in heaven, but Holy Spirit is right here with me. I can wake up in the morning like, Brad's gone, right? So who do I talk to when I'm getting ready in the morning? Holy Spirit. Brad's not there. He is right there. He's a friend that's closer than a brother. He is so good. So, so good. All the great revivals recorded through history, the Holy Spirit is always moving. I don't think salvation is like its own little thing over here. It's all tied together. If we want to see the lost saved, we need to learn how to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can go and reap the harvest. But you know, salvation, as always, is the most important thing. If the Holy Spirit is the cherry on top, salvation is the sundae. Like, that's the ice cream and the whipped cream and the whole thing. We can't forget about that, and that is the most important thing. So if you're in here this morning and you never have known Jesus and you're like, I want the Holy Spirit, yes, that's great. But we start over here with salvation. And today we're doing water baptism, which is that second step. And then third is the Holy Spirit, and he can do all of it all at once. I want to just talk to you for a second. For those of you that maybe grew up thinking that the Holy Spirit was weird and you've experienced some things where people maybe used it in an awkward way or something like that, or maybe your parents taught you that it's not right, or it ceased with the apostles. They were the only ones that could speak in tongues and it's not for us today. I just want to say this. Why would God do that? Like, Jesus himself told us, you will do greater things than I did. And how did he operate? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. He has that same power for you today. if you're not sure, like if you're just feeling like tired and just powerless in your Christian walk, I would encourage you to befriend the Holy Spirit more. Not to get more of him like he was, you know, ice cream or something, because he's not an it, he's a person, but get to know him better, because I'm telling you, he's right there by you. But if you don't interact with him, how are you going to get to know him and start learning how he operates and figure out what his voice sounds like? The world doesn't need just pretty stories. They need the power of the gospel at work. Even if we live in the United States of America, where we don't see the supernatural all that much. Like I said, if you look at the history of revival, and if you look back at, for those of you that are familiar, Azusa Street and all of the moves of God that have happened, when revival comes, the Holy Spirit always marks it. He's how it happens. He's the finger of God moving on the earth. So don't be afraid of him. Don't feel like he's weird or gonna make you do something you don't want to do. He is just there for you to access the power of God, so that you can walk your Christian walk empowered. We're going to take a moment, and we are going to pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I want to just reiterate what I said earlier, that maybe you've already asked the Holy Spirit to come, and the Word of God tells us that it's a free gift for all. So if you ask him, he is yours. But maybe you have not just yet started praying in tongues, but it is there for you, because not everybody that's filled with the Spirit speaks in tongues because they haven't accessed that yet, but you can. And so if you've received already, but you want to be able to pray in other tongues, our prayer team is going to pray with you in just a little bit. And if you've never, ever even heard of the Holy Spirit and you would like to invite him and you want to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, today is your day. It's Pentecost. Like, there's no better time. That's when it happened the first time, and it can happen again 2,000 years later. For you, he's no respecter of person. It says it's for everybody, not just for some like special people that are in ministry or something. It's not just for pastors or something. I've heard that too. That's wrong. It's for everybody, the Bible says. But before we do that, could we just stand to our feet? And I want to talk to anybody in here that does not know Jesus. Jesus came for you and for me, because we were sinners. We couldn't live holy. We couldn't see God because of sin that had entered the earth. And Jesus was perfect, and he came and he lived a sinless life. And then he died on the cross instead of us, because the Bible says that the reward for sin is death. So it's like he took our punishment. If we were in a courtroom situation and you had to go to jail for 10 years, somebody raised their hand and said, I'll serve those years for them. That's what Jesus did. He said, okay, they all deserve death, eternal death. I'm going to serve that sentence for them. And through that, because of that, if we believe in him and we repent of our sins and we say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life, we can be what the Bible says, born again, and be brand new, sinless, and have eternal life with God forever. So this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to do that, because I want to make sure that everybody in here has the opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of their lives. So could we just close our eyes, bow our heads? I'm not going to embarrass you or anything like that, but I just want you to raise your hand. Jesus died a very public death for us, and so we just do this as a public declaration that we want to surrender our lives to him. If you don't know Jesus this morning and you want that close, intimate relationship with him, he loves you, he's not mad at you, would you just raise your hand up so I know who I'm praying for, and we're going to pray all of us together in a minute. Thank you. Anybody else, if anybody does not know Jesus and would like to this morning? Yeah, I see that one hand. Thank you, Jesus. For the sake of that one, can we just pray together? Father God, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. I believe that you are the Son of God, Jesus. And I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. From this day forward, I want to live for you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You are born again. So here's the thing. We're going to do baptisms in a little bit if you want to jump in. And either way, you can definitely get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Anybody who belongs to God and is a child of God can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So what we're going to do this morning is I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up to my left and to my right on the sides here. And the worship team is going to play, and we're going to go into a time of worship. But if you would like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit for the first time, or if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you think maybe a long time ago, but you're just not operating in it, you don't feel like there's any power, maybe you've never prayed in tongues, or maybe you haven't in a long time, and you would like to have the power of God living on the inside of you, or just like stir it up afresh, as we're worshiping, I want you to come on down, and they're going to lay hands on you, just like we read in the scripture, the apostles laid on hands. And then the Holy Spirit filled them. So we're going to do that while they worship. The rest of us just worship. And we're going to see the Holy Spirit be poured out in our church service this morning.